This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
My special guest tonight has been described as one of Melbourne's most captivating singers. Getting to the heart of a song is a key part of her performance, and this was shown to great effect in a project I saw last year entitled her Jazz and Social Justice Quintet. This year, Jackie has a new project celebrating the classic pairing of voice and guitar, where no doubt getting to the heart of the song will still be of utmost importance. It is my pleasure to welcome to the Bent Note studio Jackie Bornstein.
Thank you, David, for having me.
It's great to have you here. Now, the heart of a song. Why is it so important to understand and sense that heart?
For me, it's really the most important thing about singing is to get across a story, whether it's through the English language or other languages. I like to sing in a variety of languages. And I think it's a way of really connecting with your audience members.
So what happens if a vocalist doesn't actually feel the heart of the song? And they keep singing.
I think it can still be nice, but it's you don't really get that emotional connection with the audience, I think. And for my personal experience, it's a way of expressing myself. So if I'm not really connecting with the songs, then I'm not really expressing a deep part of myself, which I really like to do through music.
Does it partly get to the area of understanding what you're singing about to start with? If you've got to the heart of the song, do you understand what the song's saying more than if you're just singing words that you've picked up on
the paper? Oh, definitely. Yeah, so it's a combination of understanding the original intention of the lyricist and also interpreting that song in your own way so it's got meaning for you, because we might be singing in the jazz genre songs that are many decades old. So it's about interpreting it in a way that makes sense to you today.
Do you find that some songs you understand them completely, but they don't mean anything to you?
Yes, and I don't perform those songs. Yeah. So often, you know, audience members who come to see me regularly will come up and suggest a song. This is a beautiful song. Billie Holiday did that so well. And I'll say, yes, she did it very well. And it is a beautiful song, but it's not something I feel that I can do justice to because I don't connect to the lyrical content.
Does that get down to one's personal experience?
I think so.
And everyone,
yeah,
of course, has different personal experiences.
Exactly, yeah.
So a song that you might be able to sing because you really understand what it's getting at, someone else might not be able to sing because they actually don't understand the intent.
Or they don't relate to it, and vice versa. You know, some modern jazz singers will sing a song beautifully that I couldn't because I don't relate to it.
Now, you mentioned languages just a moment ago. Does languages make it more difficult?
Well, it does in terms of time. It takes me longer to learn to learn the lyrics in a different language because I don't speak. I'm not multilingual, but I love singing in different languages. So
why is that?
I just love the different sounds of the different languages, and they tend to bring out a different voice in me.
Each, oh, really?
Of the different languages, definitely. And I think people who've seen me perform in different languages notice that straight away. So it really brings out a different colour in my voice and a different emotional set because I feel like the story's coming from a different place as well. Yeah.
And I suppose in many respects, you're quite right in what you say there. The story has come from a different place.
Exactly.
Because it's been written by someone with totally different experiences.
Exactly. So I'm sharing stories from different cultures from across the globe, and so I really enjoy that.
When you don't speak the other languages, you learn the words in the other language. Do you learn them phonetically or do you actually understand,
yes,
what the words are?
Well,
that
both.
You're saying?
So I learn them phonetically, but I also, as a must, learn the English translation, so that I know what I'm singing about and I can give it meaning and intention in the performance.
So singing another language from the phonetic perspective so that it actually makes sense to someone who speaks that language.
Yes.
But you're understanding.
Hopefully.
But you're understanding what you're singing because you've had the correct interpretation given to you before you start.
Correct.
Okay. I've never thought of that before. It just struck me as you just mentioned it then.
Try it. You might like it.
It would be rather interesting trying to present Bent Notes in another language. I usually completely mess up any titles of songs that are in another language. I have a very Australian view or a very Australian, I suppose, pronunciation, and it usually sounds absolutely terrible. But that's all right. Mm. I don't have to sing.
Yeah.
I can just get to sit here and enjoy others singing, whether it be English or another language. One of your projects is entitled Women in Jazz.
Oh, yes, that's another new one.
Yeah.
That's new one number two for this year.
From what I read, it's where you celebrate songs specifically from female composers.
Correct.
And songs that you describe as some of the most moving songs in the jazz repertoire.
Correct.
Now, a moving song suggests to me that that's getting into the heart of the song because you've understood what it's about and then taking it from there. Do you find a better connection to the heart of the songs that have been written by female composers to those that have been written by male, or does it not matter?
I've never really thought about that. I haven't thought about it. I don't... Now when I'm buzzing through my head, I'm thinking, actually, my very favourites probably are written by women, but I've not really intellectualised that.
I'm glad I've asked you a question.
There you go. You've taught
you've
me something
before.
About myself. Yeah, so one of my very favourite songs is called Gracias a la Vida, which means Thanks to Life, by a Chilean composer, Violeta Parra. It's a very beautiful song. It's very moving. And I will be performing that with the Three Guitars Project on February 17th at Kew Courthouse.
We'll
move on to that.
We will be talking about that.
Yeah,
in some detail,
so that's a female composer. And also one of my other very favourite songs is Four Women by Nina Simone. Very moving song about stereotypes of African-American women, how they've been imposed on African-American women by whites and African-American men. So that's a very moving and powerful song. And some of Billie Holiday's compositions are also some of my favourite songs as well. So, yeah.
I think most of Billie's compositions are somewhat serious in nature, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Some of her... I mean, she's got a blues song that's sort of... It's serious, but it's kind of... The tune makes it a little bit more fun. Oh, I can't remember the title of it. I've been down so long, the down don't worry me. So it's, you know, it's got a little bit of cheek to it.
It's nice to have songs like that.
Yeah.
Moving on to another topic, your master's thesis examined the role of the arts and music in resolving conflicts and promoting expressive and listening capacities.
It did.
And your jazz and social justice project, I think, expresses the power of jazz as a force for justice, creativity and unity as well.
Definitely.
Which is where all those songs have such great meaning. It suggests to me that you have a strong sense of social justice yourself. I take it that you also have a very strong sense of how music can be a significant influence in that area. Is that area where a heart of a song becomes even more important? Do you have varying degrees of hearts of a song depending upon whether you're looking at it from this social justice perspective or just singing a song for entertainment?
And totally, you're spot on for me. That's definitely my experience. I mean, singing a love song and connecting to it is meaningful and nice, but it doesn't have the same depth of meaning to me as singing songs that have a social justice element to them. Yeah.
Why did you choose that topic for your thesis? It's a little bit left of field.
It's a little bit out there, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it really combined two passions of mine. So I have a background in psychology and I moved into what's called peace psychology, which is looking at the different ways you can use psychology to promote positive resolution of conflicts. I won't go into that too much because I know we're limited for time. But anyway, that's one side. The other side was my music, which I've, you know, been training and performing since I was a child, and I had the opportunity to combine them both together in my thesis.
It's nice to be able to put things like that together and come up with something that is a little bit left of field and grabs people's attention.
Yeah, exactly.
As this one certainly did mine. There's certainly a number of composers around the place who've written music. And I suppose, would I be right in saying that the majority of the composers have written music that fit in that social justice area would be from America, more from the African-American side of things?
If we're talking about jazz, yes.
Yeah.
So in that project, jazz and social justice, yes, most of them are African-American. Yeah, but there's also tunes by Leonard Cohen and Vince Jones. So there's a couple of whiteys in there.
As well. Why are songs and perhaps music in general such powerful works? You've just talked here about the role of music in justice, creativity and creating unity. Why is it that music is so powerful?
I think one of the reasons is because it bypasses the sort of defences that pop up when you're just having a conversation with someone and the sort of inflammatory language, you know, you're a lefty, you're a supremacist, and it bypasses all those sort of psychological defences and grabs straight at your heart, and that gives the opportunity to open you up. It's channeling feeling, the feeling and emotion of the issue to you, not just the words flapping in your ear.
Yeah, I suppose when people just start chatting to you all the time, you tend to turn off.
You just turn off. All your defences pop up, and you know, that sort of general dialogue, the terms of conversation, just switch you off. So I think that's what music opens you up.
We're going to have a listen now to a piece of music from Jackie. I Just Squeeze Me is what it's called. There you go.
There's some interesting sign language in here.
Oh, there is indeed. From the pen of Duke Ellington and Lee Gaines, a song from 1941, Just Squeeze Me, But Please Don't Tease Me. This is yourself, Jackie, vocals, Craig Fermanis on the guitar, Philip Rex on the bass. And
Just Craig. Yes.
Philip Rex on the bass and Dave Beck on the drums is on the album.
Correct.
Which is called East of the Sun.
Correct.
But
Craig, this is a duo.
It's just the duo, which sort of fits in with the upcoming gig, doesn't it?
It does, yes.
We better have a listen.
Treat me sweet and gentle when you say goodnight. Just squeeze me, but please don't tease me. I get sentimental when we say goodnight. Just squeeze me.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
My guest on Bent Notes tonight is Melbourne vocalist Jackie Bornstein. You are listening to Bent Notes on Joy 94.9. Now, Jackie, social justice, of course, is not the only use for jazz. It can also be entertaining and feel good. And
true.
When you're looking for a relaxing downtime and feeling good, what do you listen to?
I listen to my favourite vocalists, Diane Reeves, Kurt Elling, Billie Holiday, Nina Simone, yeah.
Fitting it all pretty much within the jazz genre?
Yes, I'm afraid. I'm a bit narrow. Yeah, look, generally, although the outside strays into the sort of social justice-oriented music of Latin America.
Do you have any musical likes outside of the social justice and the jazz area? Is it something that are the genres that you've travelled through in your life that you've enjoyed at the time and put behind you because you've had enough of them, or that they're still there now?
I probably listen live and in terms of recorded music mostly to jazz now. I was trained initially classically. So
Vocally,
yep, and piano and clarinet.
Clarinet as well.
Yeah, so I did listen to a lot of classical music, and I do love classical music. I still love classical music.
Does the classical music inform your jazz in any way, shape or form, do you think?
Just the technique, really.
Have you ever looked at converting a piece of classical music to something jazzy for yourself?
I haven't, but composers have done that, yeah. I think one song I do, they've stolen bits and pieces from classical musicians. One song I do, a beautiful Jobim tune, Incense à Terre, How Insensitive, is from Chopin. Can't remember which piece. Google it.
We can do that. We can do it. Now, your new project.
Yes.
It's an opportunity for you to sing songs from your favourite composers in a duo setting, just with yourself and guitar, as opposed to the larger ensemble, whether it be quartet, quintet or anything else. Why is the duo and guitar your choice for this project?
I've really loved jazz and guitar duos since childhood, listening to Ella Fitzgerald and Joe Pass. Then in my teens, I came across Tuck Andress and Patty Cathcart, a beautiful jazz guitar duo. When I started singing jazz and performing jazz as a teenager, I also started performing with jazz guitarists. So early on, I started with an Australian jazz guitarist, Blake Wilner, who's now in the UK, and then an Indonesian guitarist, Balawan, who's very famous in Indonesia now. So I've really had experience and a love of that format since early on. And part of the reason why I like that format is because there's a lot of space. It's very exposed. It's very intimate. And I really like that. It's very challenging because of that as well. There's nowhere to hide. It's tiring because it's just you and the guitarist constantly. You know, when you're in a larger ensemble, you've got some breaks for other people's solos, and there's you know, a whole band to help carry the weight. So it's exhausting as well, but that can take you to some really interesting places because it pushes you to your limits. So yeah,
you don't have the luxury of being able to sit back for a moment while someone takes, or all members of the band take a solo each.
Correct.
you can take a short break while the guitarist plays something, then you're straight back
then
into
back
the singing.
Exactly.
Whilst the show is simply voice and guitar, mm-hmm. it's entitled Jackie with Three Guitars, mm-hmm. and you have chosen three guitarists. Tell me about those three guitarists and why they're part of this particular project.
So there's Stephen Magnusson, James Sherlock and Nathan Slater. They're all brilliant guitarists and they all have very distinct styles, which is one of the reasons why I chose them, because I love different styles of jazz guitar and I wanted to showcase that. And I love listening to all three of these players and I also love performing with them. So there are other reasons why I chose them. Stephen Magnusson has a very distinct sound. You can hear lots of different influences in his music. You hear groove-based music, you hear blues, roots, fusion, but he's really got his own distinctive style. All three of them really have their own distinctive style. So James Sherlock is very lyrical in his playing. He makes beautiful chord choices. There's a lot of tension and release in the way he plays, and he loves performing with singers, which is really good for me, obviously, so I feel quite supported when we perform together. And Nathan Slater has influences from Brazilian music, flamenco, and also jazz. So performing with him enables me to explore a repertoire beyond the sort of standard jazz repertoire. And we move into songs from different cultures in different languages.
Is the show a three-set show?
It is. Yep. It's a three-set show.
Three sets for the three different guitarists.
Correct.
And they can sit back and watch the other guitarists perform.
They can have a break.
Yeah. I think that sounds
and enjoy, hopefully.
It sounds like a very entertaining show with that variety of styles to keep one interested in what's coming next. And it's also in a very beautiful venue.
Yes.
At the Kew Courthouse, 188 High Street, Kew. And it's not very far away now, is it? 8 p.m. Saturday, February 17.
Yeah. Coming up quickly.
Not very far away at all. Jackie, thank you for visiting Bent Notes tonight and telling us a little bit about your new show and, of course, about the Heart of Songs as well. Jackie with Three Guitars is the name of the show. As we said, the Kew Courthouse, 188 High Street, Kew, 8 p.m. Saturday, February 17. Your website has got all the details about the show and a whole lot more information about yourself. And I'd certainly suggest that the listeners might wish to log in and well, not so much log in, but surf to the website and have a look. It's jackiebornstein.com, jackiebornstein.com. And of course, there's a link there for tickets for the Kew Courthouse show. Thank you so much for popping in tonight, Jackie.
Thank you, David. It's been great.
Look forward to hearing this show and other shows as they come along on your project list.
Thank you so much.
This one is from The Great American Songbook, song composed by Don Ray and Gene DePaul. It was actually composed for the Abbott and Costello picture Keep 'Em Flying back in 1941. However, it never made the final cut of the film. It found its way into a Universal film called Behind the Eight Ball a year later in 1942. Back in the 50s, the song was given a jazz treatment by Miles Davis, after which we saw recordings from musicians such as Billie Holiday, Sonny Rollins, Chet Baker, and George Benson. Tonight, though, You Don't Know What Love Is from Jackie Bornstein.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.